And so turn with me to Titus chapter 3. And we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 10 here today, about half the chapter. Titus 3, verses 1 through 10. So if you're new with us, we've been going through Titus. We're going through and we've been talking about do good. What does it mean to do good? And we're specifically talking about belief and behavior in the church. We all know that what you say has to match what you do, and what you do has to match what you say. And so that's what we're talking about. Titus, the letter to Titus is all about the young church having belief and behavior that match together. And so turn with me to Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 10 here. And that's where we're going to be at here today. I'm reading here. So let's read it here, church. I'm reading out of the ESV translation. And it says here, Paul's writing to Titus, the young pastor. He says, "Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy towards all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness, the loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of the works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things, so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people." Verse 9, "But avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. As for a person who stirs up division, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing to do with him anymore, knowing that such a person is warped and sinful and is self-condemned." Let's pray. Father, be with us in these next few moments. Speak your word to our hearts, and may your thoughts go out, God. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, as always, we've been doing through this. What did you hear the Holy Spirit say? Did anybody, anything that stood out to them? If not, we'll keep going on. But I don't know if, always want to give a chance for the body to say, okay, all right. Let's dive in here to the message. Today's message won't be too long, but I think it'll be very poignant for us. And so here's our focus is this today, is that ready for every good work. Today's focus is, are we ready for every good work? Now, all of us would probably normally say, hey, Pastor Dan, I'm ready to do good. But how many of us know that when we're by ourselves or when we get tired or it's been a long day, we may not always be ready to do good? Or you see that news report about something on the news and you're just like, oh, I want to go, you know, just go shake that person or shake that government official or just like, what is going on, like with the news or some of that. We want to be ready for every good work, and that's what I want to focus on today. In these first few verses, the question Paul puts to us is this, how do we live before outsiders? These first couple of verses talk about dealing with external entities, external things in our life. And so the question is, how do people who are not disciples of Christ recognize those who have been transformed by Jesus? How do those people that are outside in your neighborhood, your coworkers, your boss, those that you would say that don't know Christ, that aren't a disciple of Jesus, how would they recognize you as a Christ follower? If they were to come in, they would say, hey, this person's a Christ follower because of what? In these first couple of verses, Paul gives us the what of how the world will recognize that we've been transformed by the gospel. In Titus 1:16, when we first talked about it, he said that the false teachers, they were unfit for any good work. But look at Titus 2:14. In Titus 2:14, it says, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. When we pursue Jesus, we have to become zealous for good works. And in these first couple of verses of chapter 3, Paul lays out the good works we should be zealous for. And I want to ask this, have you seen in the last 2 years an onslaught of behavior from within the church that doesn't line up with these first couple of verses? We know the last presidential election of 2020, man, it seemed like some people just came unglued, or some churches, some behaviors and people in your neighborhood, your coworkers just came unglued. People went bazonkers, just went crazy about the presidential election. And it seemed like a lot of times their behaviors, especially some people in the church, maybe your own behavior didn't match these first couple of verses in Titus. And so today, my message, it's not going to be a nice three-point outline. It's not going to be real long, and everyone said, praise the Lord. But it's going to be this. The main goal is to challenge you and I in the way that we live. And here's what I want to focus on is this. My main question for us is this. Does our life's actions reflect the gospel which we say has transformed our lives? Does our life's actions reflect the gospel which we all say has transformed our lives? That's the main thought I want to put before you today. And I felt like the Holy Spirit was challenging me on what to say today, is that we can be, and I'm guilty of this, like we all have been, we've been guilty of lip service to Jesus and lip service to the gospel. But when we get out here in our own world, boy, we just do our own thing. We run at our own pace, and we will kill, lie, steal, cheat to take care of me, myself, and I. And so today's question for us is, do what we say, does it line up with what we do? And what we do, does that line up with what we say? And that's what I want to present before us. Look at verse 3 and look in verse 8 for us with me. In verse 3 of chapter 3, it says, it says that we must be ready for every good work. And then over in verse 8, it says the same thing. It says that we must be careful to devote themselves to good works. We have to be ready to devote ourselves to good works, and we have to be ready to do every good work that the Lord puts before us. And so why do our actions indicate whether or not the gospel has taken root in our lives? Why does it matter about the gospel in our life? Why does it matter? Let's take a few verses here and look at these here. In verse 3, look at this phrasing. Paul says, "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another." Wow. Does that sound like a great life? Does that sound like your best life ever? No, that sounds like one horrible, hell-filled, if I can say it, hell-filled life. That sounds horrible. But Paul says that's what we once were. And how many of you can say, amen, Pastor Dan, I've been redeemed, and that's what I once was or once were, but I'm no longer that today. 1 Corinthians 6:11, Paul writes to the young church in Corinth. He says, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God." So why does the gospel matter to our behavior? And it's this, I want to present to you, we were versus but when mindset and lifestyle. In the Christian walk, in our faith, a lot of times people will say, hey, we were, or I was a sinner, or I was a thief, or I was this and that. And then you look at their life, and you're like, well, man, not much has changed, brother. I mean, I don't see much of a difference. Or have you met those people, or maybe you're one of those people that have said, man, Pastor Dan, I used to be this and that, and man, I was in sin and darkness. But when Jesus met me, he did this. And you look at their life, and their life is transformed. It's completely transformed. A lot of us in the church, we sometimes want to gravitate to the we were mindset. We were and we still are this. We're angry, we're bitter, we're decisive, we hate people, we have malice, as Paul said here. We're disobedient, we're slaves to passions and pleasures. But church, we have to have a mindset of but when Christ came in, but when the Holy Spirit came in, this is what happened and transformed in my life. When the gospel comes into us, it transforms everything. In these first two verses in chapter 3, Paul wants to write and show us that when the Holy Spirit comes into us, it goes back and it redeems our behaviors and our actions. And we have to have a but when mentality. Look at verse 4. But when, he says, but when the goodness and the loving kindness of God our Savior appeared. That's the mindset we need to have, is but when the Holy Spirit shows up, the love and goodness of God transforms our behaviors and our actions. Verses 5, Paul goes on. He says, talks about the regeneration of the Holy Spirit and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. How can you be regenerated, church, if that doesn't affect, how can we be regenerated and renewed if our actions don't change? How can we say, I've been rewashed, I've been redeemed, I'm set free, like we said today, Christ, you paid my sins, but nothing else changes? Paul highlights here in these verses that Christ comes into our life and it's a brand new slate, it's a new operating system. And when we get a new operating system, how many of you updated your computer or your phone? You got a new phone, and it's a brand new operating system. You're like, I just don't know how to do this. Everything changes. I've been there, right? Or you get the update. You know, some of you guys are techie guys or girls, and you update your computer, and something changes. You're like, oh, not again, another change, another, I'm so used to my program ways. Well, when we become redeemed and renewed by the Spirit, we should have a brand new operating system. You shouldn't go back to the old ways of life. You need to have a but when kind of mindset. Without the gospel, I would suggest to us that we have no reason for good works. Think about it. If you take the gospel out of your life, why in the world do we have morality in our country or in the world? Have you ever asked yourselves that? Without Christ, without him calling us to good works, why is it wrong to steal? Why is it wrong to kill? What's wrong with adultery? What's wrong with theft? What's wrong with war? What's wrong with genocide? Name the vice, name the thing. What's wrong with that? A lot of times in the church, we're like, oh, can you say that, Pastor Dan? No, but ask ourselves, if we take out the gospel, what good works are we, what are we accountable to? Without Jesus, our world should do as whatever you please. And we could do whatever we please if there's no concrete, absolute truth or principles or morality. But Paul says here, he wants to frame it to the people, if you've stepped into Christ and been transformed, then everything in your life has to be transformed. You don't get to claim Jesus and live like you want. You got to claim Jesus, and your behaviors and actions have to match that. But look at verse 4 here. Look at verse 4 for me. It says, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. I want to highlight for us today is a lot of times in the world, people think that when Jesus, you get saved, it's mean and it's hard, it's sandpaper, and oh, now I got to do this work for God, and I'm lucky to be saved. No, look at this verse. When we go out to the world in your own life, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God appeared, our Savior appeared, he saved us. Man, we ought to be thankful, grateful we can change our behavior because we had a loving God that came and saved us. This verse here highlights that God, our Savior, changes our mindset. He changes our heart. He changes how we think and how we should relate to him. How many of you have grown up with someone that has either thought being saved or being God transforming them was going to be this necessarily hard and mean and just depressing process, and God was mad at them, and God didn't want to save them, but he's like, oh, I'll save this person, okay. No, verse 4 here highlights that God came, he loved us so much, he brought mercy and goodness. But how many of you, and myself included, out of our lifestyle, we don't serve God or let our actions change out of his mercy and love, but we do it out of religion, out of, oh, I gotta be nice, I can't hate my brother Tim anymore. Oh, I really want to hate somebody today. No. How many of us saying, God, I get to choose joy. I get to choose forgiveness. God, I have a but when. But when you change my mind and change my life and my heart, now I get to mimic that. These commands of verses 1 and 2, which we're going to deal with here, they're hard. These first two verses, look at them again. And we're going to keep reading this word and let the word soak over us. Paul says, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authority. Whew, that's a hard one. To be obedient. To be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy, or your scripture might say to show gentleness towards all people. Man, church, that's a high calling. But Christ has transformed you to live up to this high calling. When we're regenerated and renewed, all these areas in our lives must reflect these commands, every area of this. Now, think about this. Let's put it in context here, all right, as I close here. First century disciples, pretend we're all in the first century, all right? Titus comes and he reads this letter. And you and I might be thinking, now hold on, Titus. Hold on, Pastor Dan. Okay, you've got Rome, you've got the Egyptians, the Babylonians, the Assyrians. It's pretty much been war, death, and slavery for the last 2,000 years in the Middle East at that time. The government was all powerful. Rome, they were many gods unto themselves. There was no checks and balances. They did as they wish. If they wanted you, they would enslave you. They wanted your property, they'd take it. They did whatever they wished. In the ancient world, it was conquered or be conquered. It was do whatever was necessary to survive. And in this context, the Jewish people, the people in Crete, the Greek people as well, heard this message of verses 1 and 2. We're supposed to be submissive to Rome? These guys are like, these guys are like some bad dudes. We're supposed to be submissive to the Syrians? Who behead you, gouge your eyes out, chop off your hands and feet, and hang you? Like, these people, we have to be submissive to that kind of a government? Like, what? Say what? But Paul, through his power and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he highlighted the new paradigm of the gospel, that if our lives were to be transformed, then our actions had to match the transforming gospel of that. Look here at some of these actions here. in verse 1. In verse 2 and 3, it says, be submissive of rulers. Once again, I'm going to say it. Listen to this. Be ready for every good work. Speak evil of no one. Avoid quarreling. Be gentle. And show perfect courtesy or show meekness to all people. Church, how many of us today can say, man, we can do that, Pastor Dan? I can't raise my hand to that. That's a tall order. But we can through the power of the Spirit and through gentleness and meekness. And I want to highlight this word meekness here. In verse two here, where it's in ESV it says show perfect courtesy, but yours says meekness or gentleness. Here's this word. This is a root word, Greek word from para, and it means meekness. But I want to highlight what sometimes we miss. And this is from Bible Hub, but they were talking about this Greek word, and this is one of the commentators, theologians. He said this difficult to translate root para means more than just meek. Biblical weakness is not weakness, but rather refers to exercising God's strength under his control, i.e. demonstrating power without undue harshness. In these first couple of verses, realistically, this last bit to show meekness or gentleness or perfect courtesy to all people undergirds the rest of these. How many of us maybe have had a bad view of meekness, where we think meekness means, oh, just being the doormat, whatever you want to do, and oh, being meek and gentle just means just getting run over, and oh, you know, I really can't stand up, or I can't exercise speaking authority or correction. I just got to be meek and mild. How many of you know that the Lord God Almighty does whatever he pleases? Our God's in the heavens. Jesus was all-powerful, and no one put Jesus in a corner, Dirty Dancing. Nobody puts Jesus in the corner. Jesus wasn't put in a corner. But Jesus exercised his power under control. And at the right time, he gave his life. And the right time, he corrected and he healed and he taught. But Jesus was a meek and mild. We know that from Scripture. He was meek and he's mild. That's right. That's right, Tim. Yep, he said he was. But Jesus was power under control and without undue harshness and restraint, just lashing out at people. We don't see where Jesus lashed out. Now, he lashed out at the Pharisees, but it wasn't to belittle and condemn them to hell. He wanted to correct them and say, hey, here's the better way. Here's what it means, the true way of my Father. In this last portion of verse 2, it undergirds everything here. And so I want to look at these commands. I'm going to put them on the screen for you. So you see these commands that we're supposed to do. That if we say today that we've been pastored and I've been transformed by the gospel, here is our do good list for going out for the rest of our lives. To be submissive to rulers and authorities. Well, wait a minute, Pastor Dan. Don't we have a constitution in America? Aren't we supposed to live free and, you know, overthrow the government as it says in the Constitution Declaration if it, you know, becomes burdensome again? Well, okay. That's a whole other topic we can talk about. But we are called to be submissive to rulers. That's a hard one for us to swallow. It's many times in our Western mindset. Now, being submissive to rulers and authorities doesn't mean, once again, we can just say, hey, we're a doormat. But we are called to submit our lives. Authority is ordained by God. Governments are ordained. And so, but that's a hard one for us. Think about it, if we were in the first century disciples hearing this. Well, I'm supposed to be submissive and listen to Roman leaders? What? Say what? Second of all, be obedient. 2 Timothy 2:21 says this. It says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of his house, ready for every good work. We are to be obedient to others around us and be obedient to God so that we are ready for every good work. Every good work might include serving that politician or serving the government or serving your boss who maybe doesn't deserve it or serving your mom or dad or serving that teacher, whatever it is. You put it in your own context, serving your spouse. Being obedient, be ready for every good work can include serving others and responding to them in a good way. Speak evil of no one. Whew. We should probably just go blow up the internet right now and just take the internet down. That would probably help us with not speaking evil of anyone. Ephesians 4:31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and malice and slander be put away from you. Wow, that's a high command. Speak evil of no one. Now, what's interesting is this. How many of you, this is not a political endorsement, but I was riding with my daughter over the weekend, and we saw a Jeep Cherokee, and they had, you know, on the Jeeps, they have the spare tire out back, and usually, you know, there's always that fun, you know, they have a spare wheel cover, you know, they have always fun things, you know, Jeep Life, or, you know, there's always some people put, you know, put American flag on that Jeep cover. Well, how many of you have seen the one that's going around that says F. Biden? Have you seen that one? This one, this person, big letters, F. Biden, American flag, and some other writing, and I thought to myself, wow, as a country, but as a Christian, no matter if you like Biden, you didn't like Biden, you like Trump, or you pick your president, pick your politician, How many of us are so quick to speak evil of that person? Or speak evil, whatever the person's in charge, you put it, or speak ill of someone in here. But I thought to myself, this is out in the open. Our mainstream culture, what my young daughter was seeing, man, now what's interesting is I've seen these unbelievers' homes. I've been by in Sioux City with some believers' homes, and they got the flags flying that say F Biden. Now, let's just say for a moment, church, we're not supposed to be doing that. We can disagree on merit and thought and policies, but church, we shouldn't speak evil of no one, because we've all been redeemed from our own evil and our own sin and darkness. But that's a hard one. How many of you? It's a hard one. I struggle with speaking evil. And speaking evil doesn't mean I'm going to go out and blast you, Shelly, and be like, oh, Shelly's the devil. I could say, you know, Shelly, you know, we've all done this. We put it in little lighter terms. Well, I don't think Shelly's so smart. Or Shelly might say, I don't think Pastor Dan is that cool. We can say other things that maybe are not evil, but yeah, you wouldn't say that, right? No. But we can say things that maybe necessarily aren't right evil, but they're on that sliding scale to evil. And yeah, just negative. And we get negative, and more negative, and then it turns out right to evil, where we say, that person is worthless. They don't deserve that, and they're horrible. And so, church, I want to challenge us today. Just what's on your do-good list? Are you not speaking evil of no one today? Are you avoiding quarreling? 1 Timothy 3:3 talks about the pastors, and then to all of us, it says that we should not be violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome. How many of us, man, if we could get rid of quarreling in our life, man, we would be a lot better in our marriages and with our children, with your boss, just in your own life, even with God. Are you quarreling with God? Are you quarreling with others over things that just don't matter? I will say bad English. It just don't matter. There's things that just don't matter. Let it go. Next week, we'll be talking about verses 9 and 10, where Paul talks about, but avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels. We're going to be talking about that. How does that really effectively play out in our life? But are you avoiding that? Then are you being gentle? Look at Timothy chapter, for 2 Timothy 2, 24 and 25, it says, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. Wow, that's a hard task. Now, that's directed to pastors, but it's also directed for all of us, since Scripture is God-breathed and useful for everyone for teaching and rebuking. Man, church, can we be gentle? But once again, gentleness doesn't mean we're a doormat. Gentleness doesn't mean we don't stand up and correct and stand up for truth and righteousness. But are you gentle? And is the church today in America, 2022, are we being gentle? Or are we building militant Christianity? And by God, we're going to just ram it, and we're going to speak and speak evil. We're going to rip anybody that doesn't agree with us. How many of you have seen that on Facebook, or you've heard people argue, especially over the last election? Man, they were going to let people know where they stood and what was going on. Now, church, we can stand up and fight for merit policies, but we have to do it with gentleness. Because how many of you would say, Pastor Dan, my life's been transformed by the gospel of Jesus? So if you raise your hand and say that, then we have no option but to be gentle. We have no option. And lastly, show perfect courtesy to one another, or show meekness and gentleness. At times, we don't want to do this to people in our life, right? We don't want to do this. We don't want to do this list. You know, we can all be real in the church. But church, we have to do this because those actions show the world that the gospel is true, that we've been transformed. And church, the world today, your spouse, your home, your environment, your neighborhood, when we go to Walmart, Hy-Vee, it needs to see that an authentic presentation of the gospel is real, it's true, and that we don't get lip service to it. But then we walk into Hy-Vee or Walmart and you get that cashier, we all have been there, right? You get that cashier, you get that helper at Walmart that is not helpful, and you want to let them know you've not been helpful today. Now, we can speak truth in love, but we still must do it with gentleness and without quarreling, without speaking evil to that person at Walmart. We have to show them that our lives are been transformed. We've had a but when. We once were, but when the goodness and loving kindness of our God, our Savior, appeared, showed up in our life, we've been transformed. Now that transformation, this is our do-good list. This is what we're going to do. We are ready for every good work. And how many of you today want to do good works to please your Father, your Heavenly Father? I do. I hope you do too. And this is not about, once again, it's not about rule-based. It's not about, oh, I got to do my checklist and I can be dual-ace today and then I'm good for the next week. No, it's every day we wake up. And once again, all right, God, I got to listen to that governor. I got to listen to that Congress in America. Oh, God, we do need to pray for our Congress people here. We got to be obedient to some of the rules we disagree with. I got to be kind. I got to be ready to help people. I got to make sure I don't speak evil on Facebook or put a spare wheel cover on my Jeep that says something really bad. We have to be very careful, church. God wants you to be transformed and show the world what he's done in your life. All this stuff is about being a testimony to the world. Now, some of you, I talk with some of you are like, you know, Pastor Dan, sometimes I get really nervous of sharing my faith with people. Church, by doing this list, you are sharing your faith with the world. You're declaring to the world by your actions that the gospel is true. And as Saint, you know, Francis of Assisi said, I'm going to preach the gospel, and if necessary, I'll use words. By doing this, you are preaching the gospel in all of its fullness. So as I close here, that's all I want to do is offer us this. Here's our takeaway. Is what good work do you need to put into practice today? What good work do you need to put into practice? Out of that list today, Paul mentions it in verses 1 and 2. What do you need to put into work? What do you need to do today to do that? And so let's just take a moment. I'm going to put a song on, and we're just going to take a moment here. And we've got some time. And I just want to just take a moment. If you need to, I want us to pray and just think about, God, what do we need to put into practice? What is that good work that I need to put into practice so that my belief and my actions are synchronous, that they're together? So let's pray, and let's see. God, you can, if you need prayer, come forward. I encourage you to come up, move around, sit, stand. But let's ask God, God, what do I need to change today and put into practice in my own life? So let's pray, church, and let's spend some time making room for the Spirit to speak to us. Let's pray. Father, we make room for you today. Come speak to us today, Jesus. Where do we need to do good and put into practice these things? Let's pray, church.